I would say if we're going off of looks and just the attention to detail, this is the best looking driver on the market. It's low spin.
Yeah.
It's forgiving. And it looks good. I mean, again, we're saying this for a Wilson. Most people would never give this brand a shot.
Welcome back to the channel. We've got an exciting one today. Probably the most anticipated driver for us just based on looks. We've got the entire family of the new Dynapower from Wilson.
Yeah, we might have built some internal hype over this driver. So I'm interested to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so they've got three main models. Obviously, we've got them right here in front of us. We've got the LS, which is going to be the low spin fade bias. We've got the Carbon, which is going to have some workability still while maintaining a little bit more forgiveness. And then we got the Max. Mm-hmm. And then within the Max and the Carbon, they have a lighter weight, a head weight option as well.
Yeah, I mean, biggest thing, I would say going off of their same lineup, which their previous Dynapower series was very successful. Especially given the price point, but tell us a little bit more about kind of, we'll start with the Max.
So the Max is the only one that doesn't have carbon on it.
Yeah.
So it's all titanium, maximum forgiveness. And I'll flip it around because what's really unique about all these, and I know people are going to say, well, it looks like the Titleist. Well, everybody copies each other in some way, but that PKR face, PKR, I call it the pucker face, right? No matter where you hit it on the face, essentially, toe, center, heel strike, the entire face is trying to essentially move at one point. So it's trying to still optimize ball speed without sacrificing that spin. Because obviously, what normally happens when you hit it off the toe?
Knuckles.
Yeah, just bit. Zero spin. And then off the heel, we get that little spinny.
Spinny cut.
So with them trying to optimize more of the face, it's essentially not to leave any spot untouched for ball speed.
Yeah, I mean, biggest thing that, especially with the Max, is the titanium chassis, like you can hear it. It makes a completely different noise.
A lot louder.
I would say it's of the drivers that I've hit that we've tested in fittings and used in fittings, it's the loudest driver on the market. Which, hey, you know, Nike Sasquatch fans.
Might be the one.
Mm. Numbers say the same, but all in all, I mean, I think the Max head for standard 460cc head, I mean, the frame of it is actually really nice, and it doesn't set up shut at all. I mean, that's the biggest thing I noticed from a dress is that a lot of these ultra draw bias heads usually set up a little bit more upright, face a little closed. Now, these are all 9-degree heads. And that's what I use when I hit them. But I think overall the Max and Carbon for that larger frame sets up very well.
Well, I think this part's kind of their biggest advancement is on the back of the driver here, they've went to a new weighting system. So on the Max head, it's just one stationary weight. Carbon head, we've got two weights. And then LS, we've obviously got the low spin weight all the way up front and then all the way in the back. So being able to fine-tune head weight is something that we really couldn't do with the last generation.
Unless you used hot melt.
Yeah.
I mean,
aside from that, but now we have the tunable weighting system. So, and then the 6-port hosel. So each head has 6 different settings you can put that adapter on.
Yeah. It's a new adapter, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a cool thing about it. Now, moving on to the carbon, biggest difference is carbon crown, carbon frame. Is it lighter than the Max?
So the I printed off a couple spec sheets here. So on the Max head, it has a 19 gram rear weight, and then on the carbon head, we've got a 6 gram in the front and a 12 gram in the back. So it's 1 gram of total weight differential in the sense of like the actual movable weights. But the actual head itself's a little lighter.
It's so much funny how that the carbon like dulls the sound. Like I wish I had audio of it, but like you can immediately feel and hear something different between the two heads.
Yeah, and on the carbon, 58% of the driver is carbon fiber, and the rest is titanium.
I mean, which that's going off of market trend, mm-hmm. right? I mean, every single driver brand on the market now is utilizing carbon in some form, some way, which is pretty cool. I mean, the biggest thing I would say is, And I know we've talked about this a lot in our teaser video where we said this was the best looking driver. If you look at it from this side, this looks exactly like the first Callaway Paradigm, which I will say is my favorite shape of a crown. And then you look at the face, that looks like the TSR and the GT face. And obviously having the small lines, I mean, I would say this is a perfect blend of a Titleist driver and a Callaway driver had a baby.
Yeah, and price point wise, obviously, it's sitting pretty nice too.
Yeah, I mean, $549 for the carbon head and the LS, mm-hmm. and then $499 for the max head. Which I mean,
given the shaft selection that they bumped up to, it's a pretty good home run there.
Yeah, they definitely went up a little bit because their entire lineup previous model was $499, so a $50 increase. I mean. Inflation. Yeah. No, but definitely some really cool options that you get it. Now, what is their stock shaft?
So they've got the Denali series.
Yeah.
So, and as we know, like Denali's retail for $349.99 by themselves. Yeah. So the fact that that's a no upcharge and I believe Hazardous Gen 5. And then for the lightweight packages, I believe it's either Vanquish or Cypher.
Yeah.
So basically the same kit everybody's running.
That's perfect. I mean, especially with nowadays with how great shafts have been. If you have a shaft that you love, I mean,
kind of just transfer it over.
Yeah, transfer it over. Now with the LS head, I mean, I think what's pretty cool about this is the overall face shape change.
It kind of looks like a bubble a little bit.
I will say, I think the shelf appeal, and that's why I said this is my favorite looking driver. I mean, I would say if we're going off of looks and just the attention to detail, this is the best looking driver on the market, if not the QI35. Just because the shelf appeal aspect, you could tell there's just a lot of thought that's gone into it. I love the
original Wilson Shield.
The Wilson Shield. Now, as far as look at a dress, I think the LS is the worst one behind the ball to my eye compared to the Carbon and the Max. Because this one looked dead shut.
Well, it's 445 cc's, which is kind of abnormal for a tour head. Because typically, tour heads are 440. So,
yeah,
I think if they would have made it maybe a touch smaller, which I understand why they couldn't with the weighting,
yeah,
it could have helped the face angle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's when we say things like fade biased, right? What makes a driver fade biased is obviously, face angles made to stay more open relative through the swing. But what for like the old traditional Callaway triple diamond, when you have a driver that's fade biased, it's made to start the ball left. We don't want the ball starting right. So, you know, it makes sense why when you look at this from the top, you know, like as soon as I hit the max first, hit the carbon, then hit this, I was like, holy crap, I'm going to start this at the left wall. And the fitting bay. And it might just be because this part is too... No, you said it bubbly.
Yeah, the bubble.
It looks like a bubble. I mean...
Do we think that if we were to kind of do the loft up thing, the 10.5 head would sit a little bit more neutral? Because at that point, it's going to be more about dynamic loft anyway.
For sure. For sure. And I mean, I think if you... You're exactly right. If you go from the 10.5, maybe move the loft down just a little bit.
It's kind of like Dustin Johnson's video. Most important thing about hitting a fade is to make sure it fades.
Make sure it fades.
Yeah.
And hey, there's no one better at fading it than him.
Yeah.
I would say numbers wise, I was a little disappointed with the LS. I think I will say with the head weight change, with the head size change, I used the same shaft for all three. I realized that the shaft I was using for this didn't work. So like there would have to be some changes.
Well, I think the other part of that is something that we stress in our fittings is liking the look of something. Mm-hmm. Cause if you don't like the look of it, regardless of what the swing or shaft is,
you're going to naturally change.
It's correct. Yeah. It's going to be a slightly different, that carbon head's just, it kind of checks all the boxes. It makes it
harder. Low spin.
Yeah.
It's forgiving and it looks good. I mean, it's hard to compete against. I actually like the, did they call it the LS in their previous model?
I think it was just the carbon.
Oh, they just had the carbon. You're right.
It was just the carbon and the titanium.
The carbon 8 degree.
Yeah.
was awesome in their previous line. So I would say if they make this carbon in an 8 degree, that might be a dangerous combo for somebody like me, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. You want to look into the numbers a little bit? Because yeah. I will say this has been surprising. I'll be full transparent. I had some outrageous numbers that I didn't include in this because these are some of the few drivers that I've hit, especially that Max head, that I saw more knuckleballs than I did spinny balls. So we'll start with the Wilson Max. I started with the Max head 9 degree. I used the Graphite Design VR. Or VF, the VF Victory 6, Force. The Victory Force 6X, which I love in my Callaway Elite. Right out of the gate, I would say, Miles, this is the fastest draw bias head we've hit yet.
Yeah, it's the first one that's been over 160 ball speed.
Yeah. So, and I was swinging it like 111, 112, so the efficiency was way better. Average 13.5 launch, 2,500 spin. First time with the draw bias head, the spin has been under 2,900. And like I said, I hit one. The first one I hit, I ended up deleting it because I don't want to say that's the normal. It was 16 launch, 1900 spin, 164 ball speed. Math will say that ball went a long way.
Yeah.
Is that the most efficient on the golf course?
No.
But 42 degrees descent angle. So to get 281 carry, I mean, that's the longest carry for a draw bias head for me that we've seen probably by 12 yards average.
Yep.
Average. Anything you see there with the Max head?
No, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've tested Elite, we've tested QI. Typically these Max heads get overlooked when somebody comes in to hit something. Let me hit the LS because they think it's always going to be the furthest. And what's cool is this driver kind of exposes that. It's kind of like what we saw with the Cobra with the K head. It's not necessarily meant for fast swing speed players, but there's going to be people out there that can benefit from that and maintain maximum forgiveness too. Yep.
So, yeah. No, you're 100% right.
I think that's the surprising part for me, not seeing the numbers until just now.
But trust me, the first thing I hit with it to get 164, 165 ball speed, I was like, whoa, whoa. Because usually that club face will just come in with a Max head like that for me.
Yeah, I mean, based off of what we've seen so far, I would expect, you know, you got 281 here. I was expecting this to be in the 260 range for carry.
Yeah.
But so, spin's low and forgiveness is high.
Then we move over to the carbon head. Honestly, if I didn't have any ties to a brand, this carbon head, especially if I get the 8 degree, would be in the mix because this is the best numbers we've seen. I think compared other than the Elite Triple Diamond and the LS from QI35, but 164 ball speed average, 2,200 spin, 40 degree descent angle, 290 carry, 310 total. I mean, the coolest thing about this is look how consistent the spin numbers were.
Yeah, no deviation hardly.
They were, yeah, standard deviation was 76.
Yeah, which is nothing with a driver.
That's
for someone who plays golf once a week, like we, you know, if we're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, and then obviously the dispersion was great with it. I can't tell you how excited I am for this carbon head for fittings. I just think the stability's there. I think the performance is there. And then obviously I think the look is there. I had another freakish number with the carbon that I didn't want to throw in there. I'm not just going to throw the best at you. I reached 168 ball speed with it. Didn't have it tweaked down to 8 degrees. Didn't do anything special. Just center strikes doing what the center strikes should do. And then we go down with the LS. I tried to give it my best effort. I'll be honest, the dispersion was terrible with the LS. Just I could not find. I was hitting everything center to center heel, even some toe swings, and I just couldn't. That spin was bouncing around all over the place, and I just think it's just the bubbliness of the head. It was fighting me a little bit. I'm honestly surprised. I went in thinking that was going to blow everything out of the water, and for it to not even beat the Max head for me. I mean, but it shows. That's why you need to try them all.
Yep. Well, I think it's going to cover a very niche market. We saw this with Cobra last year with the, the Dark Speed LS.
Dark Speed LS was fast, but it was not forgiving.
I mean, you had one or two guys that year that maximized that product, but at least they offered the product. I think we're going to see more players in this carbon head than any of the three heads. But that LS guy, for the one person that needs it, at least it's there.
Well, I would say, like, for the players that definitely struggle with the right miss, that LS head with how it sets up, like, it just looks shut, like, but it still can give you that low spin technology. I did have the heavier weight towards the front of the face in both the carbon and the LS, which promote that lower launch, lower spin. But yeah, I mean, overall, numbers for a Wilson driver, Pretty damn good. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, this is the dispersion chart. You can see with...
So nice to see how tight all the launch angle is with all three.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously you can see there, it's just... the red was just all over the place. I mean, so it was tough, but look at the teal. That was the carbon. Just like overall total distance, just the exact same. On all three. Like, that's cool. I mean, it makes sense. The spin rate was within 100 RPMs across the board. So overall, I mean, great numbers. Again, we're saying this for a Wilson. Like, most people would never give this brand a shot.
Well, and I think that's going to be, like, obviously, if people come in here, we try everything. But, you know, if somebody else out there is watching this video that is a fitter, this is where you've got to do your job as a fitter and let people try their product. I think that's the problem that Wilson's faced. We've seen it with a couple other brands, Tour Edge as well, is they got this distaste because they went into every big box store ever, and then now they're slowly backing out of that.
The previous driver didn't have the curb appeal. So, yeah. Like, I get why, like, some people just were like, nah, it feels great, but no. Now there's really not any excuses.
Yep. Because it's, I mean, out of all the drivers we've tested, it's just solid.
That's the max. Hey, toe miss and the ball went relatively straight. I mean.
Well, that's your zone.
Yeah. But that, like, how good were the spin numbers for the strikes really to be a little bit all over the place? Show the carbon.
Pepper.
Yeah. So.
Okay. It's in the bag.
Yes, that's ball go far, ball go straight. And then we have the LS, which, like, for the strike location to be pretty decent, for it to not perform, that's how you know it's just strictly a thing. Like, my eyes just couldn't adjust to the how small, how bubbly the head is. So, but we have anything else we want to leave Wilson with?
No, I think everybody in the building is excited about this. I think the biggest thing for them is they're going to have to market it the right way because it is a tunable product. You got to make sure you market as tunable.
Hey, Kisner did have it in the bag this previous week. So his ball speed, he jumped up and he was using like a Callaway his first week where he played terrible. He used a Wilson this past week in TGL and that ball speed hopped over 170. So
ain't no hobby.
Hey, it's a good sign when you see the actual staff pros actually putting the driver, because most Wilson staffers will not even put a Wilson driver
on the back on Taylor tour. Made or ping.
And that's just more because of the spin consistency and things like that. So
yeah, but with this lineup, I think we're going to see it in the victory circle quite a lot this year. So
yeah, we'll leave it at that. Let's roll into some show and tell. Jason Day is playing his final round in a full sweatsuit, including pants that are tied. Is this professional or has he pushed it too far? This is a big debate in the golf world right now, like even blowing up this morning. With all the Big J journalists out there, just, you know, I guess their opinions mean everything. But
yeah,
what are your takes on this?
I mean, I think some of it's kind of dumb, to be honest. I mean, if you're playing golf, I get the whole traditionalist argument, and you can obviously bring in the
more modern side. Sorry, we're fighting the cold here. So,
but the thing that bothers me a little bit is like the sweatsuit's way too much. Like if
you're thinking it's a little too far,
like you brought it up. If me or you booked around at Pebble and we showed up in that,
regardless, we'd be kicked off. Yeah, we would not be allowed to play,
and we wouldn't get a refund.
And we paid $500. Oh, sorry, there's $600 now or whatever it is.
But you know the part that I'll defend Jason Day on is like the jacket where he had to cover up the logo. is if you look at like a Jay Lindenberg.
Literally what Victor wore this week was a huge Jay Lindenberg.
Yeah, if you look at like most of these like overseas companies or high-end designer companies, the entire shirt's a logo. So the argument's a little bit invalid there.
Yeah.
But I would say the sweatsuit's a little bit too much.
I'm a big fan of playing in whatever you're comfortable with. The only place I've ever drawn the line on the golf course, and I don't care what other people wear. Like, I don't go out on a golf course and see what someone wears. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the one that's going to scoff. It's just, do I want to see jeans on the golf course? No, I don't. But honestly, I don't really care. So I like the sweatpants look. I played golf on Sunday where it was freezing cold with a pair of like joggers/sweatpants. They weren't full sweats, wrestling, sweating sweats like he's wearing here.
Joggers, huh?
Yeah, I know.
It's a bold move.
We're turning a new leaf in 2025. But I actually love the look. I said I loved it at Torrey. I just think there's a time and place. Waste management, go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? Pebble Beach.
Probably not.
Like, it's the PGA Tour need to do a better job. Like, they always think, like, this is a way to get new fans into golf. It's like, well, no. No, because what you're telling is, oh, I can do things that you can't do.
Yep.
That's just the only bad thing with this picture here. I actually love the look. I think bobbin stuff, it's growing on me. It's awesome. Another guy said it best. I saw some guy tweet. He goes, I mean, the guys that founded golf would scoff at the things that we are wearing at country clubs that are supposed to be right. Like, they would say during their time, how dare you wear something? Like the trends.
It changes.
It should change. I mean, just think, a lot of country clubs, they're used to not be able to wear a five-pocket pant. Now what is every single golf pant now?
Yeah, five pockets.
Five pockets. You rarely see the old professional pant anymore. Also, how many times now do you see people wearing essentially skinny jeans on golf courses, but they're chino pants?
Or leggings.
Yeah, like, you know? It's just... It goes in waves. We're not going to be the apparel police here.
I mean, even when I worked,
I think his
course,
look looked awesome. The shoes, which they're not out yet.
The high tops.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Jason Day's look. It's just like, dude, choose the right time and place to do it. Because you ain't going to be able to do that at Augusta.
No.
So.
I don't think he'll push the boundary at Augusta this year. Because last year was probably enough for him to say, all right.
You don't realize it's an invitation.
Yeah.
You don't earn a right to play there. By the way, his new YouTube channel, that's good. Oh, gosh, a long one. The PGA Tour has a lot of problems right now. Foremost among them might be that it's a lot more fun and entertaining to watch your favorite YouTubers play fascinated courses for 40 minutes than it is to watch Andrew Novak and Sam Stevens duke it out at Torrey Pines for 400 minutes. Kyle Porter, you couldn't be more wrong. My entire TV's on YouTube golf. I give me Andrew Novak and Sam Stevens every day of the week because they're just light years better than every single YouTube golfer in the entire world. I think both can coexist. I mean, like, this take is starting to get old. Like, there's something where we're starting to put YouTubers on a pedestal that there's a reason why, like, it's special that Rory won this weekend.
Yeah.
Because people can't do what he can do. Right. So, like, let's stop trying to make things equal when they're not supposed to be equal. Like, I'm agreeing with Paige Spiernak. She said it best this week. If professional golf dies, all of golf dies. So YouTube golf is not going to replace professional golf.
No.
So Kyle Porter needs to kick rocks.
I think the only thing that I think the take that you could get from this is he was trying to call out slow play and did a very piss poor job at trying to word it.
Yeah. I mean, think about what Rory said this week. I'm like, we've been hard on pace of play, but Rory made a good point this week. It's funny how I agree with Rory on some things now.
Turncoat.
He goes, at the end of the day, why does it matter how fast we play? It's on the TV and the broadcasters. If we're playing 6-hour rounds, then it should be easier for you to show more than 10 people. So why are you only showing 10 people?
Commercials.
Correct. So is it that they're playing slow, or is the TV coverage not doing a good job showing a wide variety? Because I like in our group chat, some guy was like, I don't want to see Bo Hostler making a 50 footer when he's in 30th place. I responded and I said, I actually do, because that 30th place putt at the end of the year when he might be number 101
on the bubble.
Yeah, like they're like people need to start remembering you're following the PGA Tour, you're following professional golf because it's the best golfers in the world playing in a league for a year for a goal to get to at the end of the year. Like, yeah, if you sit there and just think about it, like you're sitting down right then and there and you don't want to see someone making a bogey putt, then it's just like, you're right. Then you're not going to enjoy any golf broadcast.
I think that, you know, growing up, I went to my papa's house every Saturday and Sunday and all we watched was golf the whole day. And what I remember distinctly is when you cut on Golf Channel specifically, you would watch the European Tour. Mm-hmm. You would see 50, 60 guys hit a golf shot before you ever saw a commercial. Then at 2 o'clock on CBS, you'd have 2 hours where you'd see nothing but golf shots from everybody. And kind of around 2012, it flipped. Now you see more commercials and playing through than you do actual golf.
Dude, I mean, Charlie Hoffman put out a letter to the players saying that the players need to be better about their individual pace. I mean, Tom Kim was a problem this weekend.
Well, he's been a problem at every event he's played in.
Yeah, he's been a problem this weekend. I mean, the players do have to do a better about, like, because they need to respect themselves. They need to respect the competition. You know, I get that you're playing for a lot of money and you want to go through your process, but at the end of the day, when all your job is to play professional golf, who cares if their work day is 6 hours?
Yeah.
How long is our work day as the average American? Exactly. Yeah. So why do we care? It's just on the broadcast to show more golf. I don't care about pace of play on professional tour. Just show more golf.
Well, I think if they showed more golf, we wouldn't even realize there is a pace of play problem.
Correct.
That's it?
That's it?
No.
Well, real quick, because pace of play, there's something new going on this week. Live starts this week. And coolest thing about it is they're playing under the lights.
Yeah, it's like SpongeBob at night.
Yeah, so on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on the East Coast, you'll be able to wake up at 10 a.m. Well, everybody will be up by then, but
unless you're lazy, right?
calm down, David Goggins. So cool. You'll have primetime golf and primetime for Saudi Arabia, but they're playing at night under the lights, which I think is really cool for a season opener. Something different.
Yep.
And
Phil Mickelson's out. Ollie Snyderjan, or however you say his
Snyderjans.
Oh, okay.
Off a win this past week. So
got into the living.
Did Phil get hurt playing too much YouTube golf? That's
left to be determined.
I know. But I'm actually excited for the Live start this week where
watch it at night.
Also awesome. Be on Fox.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Get Tom Brady commentating on Live.
There we go. Hey, you never know.
Yep.
No, he's out. Well. Let's end it on that.
Cool. Well, if you haven't already, like and subscribe, turn on those push bell notifications, and we will catch you next one. Wow. That day quill done got me all jazzed up.